Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Way UK podcast. My name is Zenya and I'm joined with an extra special guest. It's Rocky, everyone.
Woo! Hello.
Wow, you gave us your own sound effects.
My own entrance music.
We could have added it in, but you decided to lead the way. So
just trying to be helpful.
Hey, resourceful, innovative, as you said. Guys, this is a solo dolo. I'm not with Michelle. Not with Jesse, Izzy, Zach, Mateus, the whole gang.
Yeah, wow. One and one.
I know.
Do you feel lonely?
Do you know what it is? I'll normally look over there and like look to Jesse and get him to, you know, signal him to ask a question, but I guess it's just me. But
the spirit of Jesse is here.
Hey, and the Holy Spirit is here.
Come on now. Come on now.
Yes. Holy is the spirits.
Oh, come on. And you know all about that. I mean, I think you've had a couple experiences with God, with the Holy Spirit, I think you'd say.
Yeah.
And I think we're probably going to talk about that today. So we're going to be delving into Rocky's story, kind of like who you are, what you do, like how you know God, and just any and all things in between. So let's hop into it. But I guess I'd love to start with asking, who is the Rocky?
Who is Rocky?
What does Rocky do?
What am I and what do I do? Yeah, great.
Who do you be?
Who do I be? Let's start genetically. I'm Rocky NT.
It's a great place to start.
You know, then we can go geographically.
Oh.
And then we can be like, what's my context?
Love that.
So genetically, I'm from mixed heritage, Dutch and Ghanaian. My parents kind of, my dad was born in Ghana. My mom was born in London. I was born in North London and grew up in a place called Milton Keynes. Shout out Grid City.
Ooh.
Moved back to London. So, yeah. So I guess in terms of geographically, I live in London now, and I see myself probably now as like a storyteller and whatever that means. But I spent like 12 years as a recording artist, doing everything but being famous and successful. And then
that's a crazy way to put it.
Well, I don't want to be like, oh yeah, like I smashed it. I did. I made music for most of my 20s, which is cool. And then now I find myself in kind of a couple of different contexts. One is in like a ministry context with Hillsong Community. Another is in kind of a record label and publishing context with another land. So, but the commonality in all of those things is kind of telling stories, facilitating other storytellers. That's kind of who I see myself to be now.
Yeah.
But that's always evolving and ever changing. I think for 12 years, I was like, I want to be Drake. I want to be the biggest artist in the world.
Mm.
And now I just like staying at home and reading books, talking about like Jesus and music and creativity.
Wait, I bet Drake wishes he could do that. Come on.
Listen.
Yeah.
I love my life.
Yeah.
I'm sure if Drizzy wants to come and hang out and just like walk around and give it all up, I'm here for him.
Wow. Come on.
Shout out Drake if you need, if you want to hang out.
Drake, if you're listening to the Way UK podcast.
He could be.
You never know. You actually don't. No, I love that. I'd love to like maybe go back to like baby Rocky.
Cool.
And see like last time I made a little joke and I was like, little Pebs.
Pebble.
Pebble. You know, from the rock to the pebble. But what was Pebble up to? Was he a Christian? Was he not a Christian? Did he grow up knowing God? Like
Lil Pebs is my rap alias. The mixtape's gonna drop and it's gonna be fire. Lil Pebs, it'll be. I don't even know what Lil Pebs' music would be.
Lil Pebs is giving like alternative artists.
Oh, okay.
Lil Pebs is giving like maybe a little like garagey.
Oh, okay.
Or also maybe like
UK
some
vibes.
Like indie, like deep conscious rap kind of vibes.
Yeah, like the beats are like, you know, like conscious, like.
And I feel like Lil Pebs wears big hats. And I have that like Pharrell vision of like the big hats. I don't know. I just feel like Lil Pebs, he knows who he is.
He knows. Well, Lil Pebs, I don't know. Who was I? My parents were pastors. My mum kind of was called to, we moved to Milton Keynes because she felt called to set up a church there. So it was kind of for like the West African diaspora within the UK. So like I've always been homies with Jesus. Like me and Jesus have never really had beef.
Right.
I've always had quite clear convictions since a very young age I've always kind of been like the black sheep of like, everybody's doing this. I'm very comfortable to do this alone. So since like a young age, I've kind of had, you know, what we kind of term within our like denomination, like a relationship with and a curiosity. I think I've always been curious to as to what we're all doing here and why God is engaged in a conversation with humanity. I think I've always been like, what's going on there? But most of my 20s, I wasn't really in like an active church community context. Yeah. So, but I grew up in a church context. I grew up with a familiarity with the Christian tradition. I grew up with a deep conviction that God is real and scripture is a helpful tool in me understanding God. And I grew up with a kind of a draw towards creativity and music and worship. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
So Little Pebs was like homies with Jesus, with a fam. Like I would say my parents are probably the most influential spiritual teachers I've had. When people are like, who's inspired you like to love Jesus more? I think most of my parents.
Wow.
Which is a very privileged thing to say.
And what did you see from your parents that you thought, that's pretty cool? Or like, oh, I kind of like how they do that in terms of like how they connect with God, or like how they even like talks about God, or how they even raised you to like grow that curiosity. Like, was there anything you saw as a child or like a teen that you were like, I kind of like that?
I think when you're younger, you just think everything is normal. And it's only when you become an adult that you realize that people are making intentional decisions around what they're doing. Like I find it, in hindsight, my like dad used to wake up at like 6 a.m. and like pray in tongues before he went to work for like 30 minutes or an hour. I just thought that was normal. I was like, everyone's parent does that. But like growing up, I'm like, no. He had a real clear conviction that like I need to pray into my day. So I kind of grew up with God is faithful as like standard. Like God is faithful. You trust God. You do what you can. You let go and let God.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of normality in my household context, which then gave me a lot of confidence to just like go with the flow. You mean like if I need to do something, or if I feel like God's inviting me to do this or take a risk, it's like, yeah, cool. If God told you to do that, then just do that. You know what I mean? There was a simplicity in understanding that God is love, and love only draws you towards itself. So if you take a step, it's always in flow with God. It's only going to lead you back to him. So
yeah,
fine. So yeah, I think that's one thing I saw. They're like, my parents embodied trust of God in a way that made it second nature for me. Like, why would you not? But it's only in hindsight that I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like really rare for people to like build a family structure around that, if that makes sense.
And it's also hard in the world that we live in today, because like the simple thing of, oh, if God's told you to do something, then do it. It's like, great. I feel like we should all live by that. Like if we feel like God is saying, go do that, or go speak to this person, or go towards this goal, great, go do it. But then it's like, yeah, but school. And like, I've got to study. These grades to get. I've got to get my degree.
I've got to
do my thing.
Yeah.
But then also like, I have friends, you know, like I want to fit in with my friends.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to be the odd one.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to be part of what's going on there.
Yeah.
Don't want to be standing out like that.
No.
So like, I guess for you, like going through like your teens and even in your 20s, like you were saying, like being an artist and like working in those spaces, like did things get a bit complicated between you and God? Like, was it always so like clear cut and simple? Or like, did you ever face any challenges in navigating something that should be so direct and simple of just love God and love people?
Yeah.
But then now you're thrown into the real world where like everyone's doing.
It's all a madness.
It's a bit messy at times.
It's a madness.
It's a madness. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, how did you find navigating having your own personal relationship with God, but then just moving through life and like being in different spaces?
I think it's really easy when you're in an echo chamber, right? So I think when you like, if you're like in a family context where it's like, God is good, yeah. And then you like leave your house and go to uni, it's like, That's not echoed back to you. You know what I mean? It's just like, party, let's go crazy. And I think a lot of the creative spaces I've been in, there's a lot of wrestle with identity.
Mm.
People don't really know who they are and people are trying to fit in. Like you said, nobody wants to be alone because we're all deep wired for connection.
Yeah.
So then people compromise on their convictions to stay connected to people because everybody wants to be connected. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'd prioritize being connected and not alone than following my convictions, because that may lead to a path where I'm alone.
Mm.
So I think that's a big wrestle that I had in like my teenage years, when if the momentum and the majority is doing X, Y, Z, but my conviction is leading me to this path, do I want to be surrounded but alone, or do I want to be alone and with God? Does that make sense?
Alone and surrounded.
Yeah, yeah. Surrounded by the presence. Yeah. Or do I want to be surrounded by people and deny intimacy?
Wow.
And I think that in everybody's context, there's going to be decisions that you have to make. And sometimes we like boil it down to like, do I go to the club or do I stay at home and read my Bible? I don't think it's also always that explicit. Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, do I go to an environment that is going to be helpful for me to be loving, or do I say no? But I think it's way more nuanced than that sometimes. It's like, in a conversation, do I engage in gossip so that I can feel fit into the ecosystem there? Or do I take myself out of it to not chat bad about someone? Mm. So I think in my 20s as well, like, I just wanted to, like you said, I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to be successful, whatever that meant at that time.
Yeah.
So that meant success in a cultural context meant doing X, Y, Z, but it kept jarring against like, oh yeah, but is that what I believe? Does that connect to my deep core values? You know, so it was hard. And I think it's hard for everybody.
Yeah.
Because I think to engage authentically with the world is to have opposition. That's inevitable. I think to live a life without opposition, I would question whether or not you're living in the reality.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, no one ever challenges my beliefs, I'm like, are you just in your house all the time?
Yeah.
Are you just surrounded by people that say yes to you?
You probably just look in front of the mirror every day. Live in front of the mirror. Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't think that's real.
Yeah.
I don't think that holding to any conviction means that you're going to have opposition. That is inevitable. Christ said that.
Yep.
So it's like, it's not news. So it's not necessarily whether or not you are faced with opposition. It's how you engage with opposition, which is going to be the difference. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I also think, like, just to speak a bit more on that, I know for me, when I was in my teenage years, I definitely did wrestle, or slightly towards the end of my teenage years, when I like reconnected with God and I found God, I did wrestle with the, but my friends are going this way.
Mm.
I don't really think I should be going that way.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to lose my friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
then
yeah,
let me just kind of go that way as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
God, I'm not really like fully going that way.
Yeah.
I'm just like going that way just so like we can hold on and have this friendship. But like, God, I'm still here for you. Like, I'm still here for you. And sometimes you can like convince yourself, like
yeah,
try and convince God. You're like, actually, no, I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm compromising.
Yes, yes, yes.
I would just say that I'm like cutting maybe a tiny deal.
Just shifting,
yeah, just
7 degrees
slightly,
to the left.
Slightly, but like you can shift 1 degree and then by the time you get to the end, you've waywarded, you know, like you've walked yeah, actually so far out. So yeah. I think like sometimes we need to like not try and sugarcoat or make the compromise sound better than it is. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're compromising.
I think the best thing you can do for your friends is be authentic.
Yeah.
I found that the more myself so as I behold and spend time with God to see actually who I am, because I think sometimes everyone's like, I'll discover who I am by spending time by myself and do like lots of self-discovery. I'm like, that's not it.
Yeah.
The more that I spend time with the one that created me, the more I understand myself, because I'm a mystery to myself. I do stuff all the time that I have no idea why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So to think that I can be the one that can unlock myself is like, makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so the more I spend time with God to behold how I've been created, the more I can be authentically who I've truly been created to be. And I think rather the most helpful thing for the world is for me to live in connection with that. And that unlocks so much.
Yeah.
So like, I have an incredible relationship with people outside of our tradition and not in our tradition. Like, irrespective, my one goal is to be Rocky in every setting, not kind of tailor myself to be more Christian in one space.
Or like this version of Rocky over here. And then when I'm at home, I can be that Rocky.
That's tiring, just wearing masks all the time. So yeah. I just think like the best thing that I could do for any friendship group or any relationship is to be authentically who I am. Because I think sometimes we can create a narrative of like, I'm in this tradition or have this belief system, and these people that I am hanging out with don't have that belief system. Therefore, I need to take myself out of that space, disconnect from them, and then hang out with people that have my belief system. And I don't think it's that binary. I think we can hang out with people. I think for so long, I wasn't being in community with people who had my belief system. And that was a big flag. Mm. So I spent, when I was 27, that's what I did. But actually being in that space where people were echoing back to me who I believed I truly was and the promises of God and scripture and the tradition allowed me to be in a space that didn't necessarily reflect my core values, but I was able to be myself. And I think that then reframed what it meant to be a Christ follower in that setting.
That's
great. So my friends were like, do you want to do this? I'm like, no. Oh, but I can still come, but I just won't do that. Or, no, I don't actually agree with that. I believe this. And the more authentic and confident I was in that, the more that actually I was able to showcase a different version of who people believed a Christian to be in that setting.
Yeah.
Do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
But to show yourself, you need to know yourself. You can't just like go into a space and be like, this is who I am. And people are like, really? And like, no, I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of confidence. I think self-reflection in relation with God to then go out boldly, if that makes sense.
See, I found that too, because I remember when I was in school, like when I was in secondary school, I didn't really feel like very confident with who I was.
Mm.
So like when I was around this group of friends, I would kind of act more like the scholar girl, the academic girl. You use like fancy language. And when I was around these group of friends, I would just be like more wayward and like just be like more lucid than when I was around these friends. And I kind of felt like every day I was like choosing which version of Xenia was going to leave the house today.
Yeah.
And then when I got home, it's like, okay, but who's the original Xenia? Yeah. And it's like, you're just tired. Honestly, it is very draining. Yeah, it's very tiring. And I don't know how we do it. Like so many of us do it.
Mm.
And I don't know how I was doing it before, but I often felt like people didn't really get to see the real me and people didn't get to experience me like and actually really enjoy like who I am.
Yeah.
But then now, like on the flip side of that, like growing up, like in my my 20s, knowing God, I have a friend that I reconnected with recently. Childhood friend. We've known each other since we were like 7. Mm. I was like the first friend she made when she moved to London. And we reconnected and she said to me like, I don't really believe in God. I'm not really sure like this whole thing, but every time I see you, I feel like I know I'm learning more about God.
Mm.
And she was like, you carry this like joy.
Mm.
And I just don't know how you do that, but like there's something different about you. And I don't know, it's lovely to see that the more time you spend with Jesus, the more time you like spend, like you said, like getting to know your original design, like, okay, God, you created me, so help me function. Mm. Like, how do I do this? The more you spend time like that, the more you can grow in your authenticity.
Yeah.
And people respect authenticity as well. Like people know when you're showing up as you
versus
you were doing this last week, now you're doing this now, tomorrow you're going to do something else.
Yeah. I think authenticity is the frequency of heaven.
Wow.
I think that's like being truly who we were created to be breaks every barrier. Because we say like the truth will set you free. What is truth? Authenticity and honesty and integrity and all these characteristics of the spirit. I think Christ was the most authentic human being that's ever lived.
Absolutely.
And therefore he was able to walk into settings and see, truly see. You know what I mean? Like he found, it's so funny when you look, I find it at the Gospels where people are like, why are you doing this, Jesus? Why are you hanging out with this person?
Right.
Why are you going over there? That person does this. Why do you do that? And he's just like, no, like you're not seeing. I am truly seeing who that person is. Like, so you can say we can package ourselves with whatever identity marker we want.
Yeah.
I'm black, I'm a man, I'm this, I'm da da da, whatever. Cool. That is our secondary identity. The first one is I am a creation of God. And Christ could see that. Do you mean? So he would walk up to the woman well and be like, I see exactly who you are.
Yeah.
The Roman centurion, I see exactly who you are. Anybody, I see exactly who you are. And I think if we are to imitate that, we actually have to first see ourselves as Christ sees ourselves and then see others how Christ sees them.
That's great.
So like you said, that kind of authenticity piece for me is like integral to me living in the way or following Christ. Mm. And I think authenticity unlocks so much joy, it's so much peace.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the tension with our current context is, like you said, people would rather fit in than find themselves truly. You know, people would rather, and I think it's hard. I don't say that to be like, people need to wake up. I think it's really hard.
It is.
It's really, really hard because social media is projecting one thing and culture is projecting one thing and friendships are projecting one thing. And I truly believe everyone was created to be in connection. So people are desperate for connection.
Yep.
And I think that modernity and the current evolution of culture mean that everything is now separated. So people don't see that everything is deeply connected. Like my mental health is here, my physical health is here, and my career is here, and my faith is here. And it's like that. It was never meant to be that. It's like Christ is in all things.
Yeah.
Everything is connected. And if you start to compartmentalize things, you're missing the point. Does that make sense? Mm. Like, I feel like the more that we can see that everything is deeply connected, and me being authentic in all of those different spheres and allowing Christ to be in all of those different spaces, the more that I will be able to walk in that truth.
And I like how you spoke about the, if I know who I am, then whatever context I enter, whoever I'm around, I don't need to kind of do what they're doing. No, yeah. I can actually do me, and that's all great. And God can reflect through that. And I was thinking about how, you know, in the book of Acts, you read about how the disciples or the apostles, you know, when their name got a fancy upgrade, when they started going around like planting different churches in places, like whether it's like in Ephesus or like Philippi, how normally they would go in like groups of two.
Yeah.
Like they would go into these like foreign contexts where like people don't really follow Jesus or people never really heard the gospel, never really experienced God like this.
Yeah.
And they would be able to go over there and maybe suffer a little bit, you know, a bit of resistance, but they wouldn't compromise. Mm. Like resistance didn't make them falter or be like, actually, no, because you guys don't love this,
then
I guess we're just not going to do this anymore. Like we're not going to but actually, no, they said, no, we're still, we've been called to the space.
Mm.
So let's actually go here and let's go united. And I think like something very, very wise and even just very practical is like, if you're like a young person or maybe you're like, oh, I want to be around this certain group or I feel called to this environment, but like, I'm not sure, like, am I strong enough? Like, can I do it? Like, will I compromise? It's helpful to bring people on the journey with you. Yeah. Like that's what the disciples did. Like they rolled around in like groups of twos and threes. And I think they did that for a reason because they knew like united, like they're much stronger when they're together.
Mm.
And actually like, it's great to have people around you in those spaces that know God because they can check you. But then also you could ask them questions and be like, I'm not really sure how I move in this environment. Like, can you help me out? And it's like, you never really feel like you're doing it alone.
Yeah. Jesus didn't roll solo all the time.
Mm.
Jesus rolled deep.
Yeah.
If Jesus had homies, then we all need homies.
Facts.
That's like factual. There's kind of a thread of thought that's like Jesus needed the disciples as much as disciples need Jesus. He didn't just go alone.
Mm.
There was moments in which Jesus spent time in solitude. Then there was moments where we had the three.
Yeah.
And there's moments we had the 12. And then the group are slightly bigger than that. And then 70. So it's like, Jesus had all these different spheres of relationship and connection with people and understood and was sensitive when it was one, when it was just me and God and me and three homies and me and 12 and me and a bigger group. So this life is not meant to be done in isolation.
Yeah.
That's not true. You know, like I am not smart enough, humble enough, kind enough, all these kind of things to just go out on my own. I realized that in my 20s, I spent all my life kind of like all my 20s, like being John the Baptist, just in the wilderness, eating locusts by myself and be like, oh, I can listen to podcasts. I'll be fine. Mm. You mean like, I can listen to worship music. I'll be fine. I'll just have this kind of private Christian experience.
Yeah.
So that's not what it's about. It's fundamentally not a kind of like a private self-help thing.
Yeah.
It's about being in understanding that I'm deeply connected to everything, everyone, and all creation. That means I need to engage with all creation and different humans and things like that. And like you said, we shouldn't be rolling around solo dolo. Like that's only going to work for so long. Especially when it comes to, for example, like the music industry, everyone's like,
right, yeah.
Music industry. It's crazy, man.
Ooh, so fun.
It's crazy. Like, and also like there's like, it's demonized a lot. It's like, don't go in the music industry because you're going to like lose yourself and lose your soul and, you know, have to sign a contract that means that you can't.
Wait, Illuminati confirmed.
Yeah, listen, it's all mad. I don't know. I'm not going to ask that question. But I think every single one of us has been invited to bring Christ into our context. Every single one of us. And if we are afraid to bring Christ into that context, Christ may never be illuminated in that space.
Wow.
I'm not supposed to be in the same spots that you're in. Mm. But if I deny the invitation to bring Christ into my context, then the people in that context, I'm actually denying them an experience and reflection of God that they may never see. There's only ever going to be one Rocky Inti, ever, in all of time. The paradox is we are all deeply connected and all deeply unique. There's never going to be another Rocky Inti. So if I deny being and embodying Christ in the spaces in which I'm being invited into, that's a missed opportunity.
Wow.
There's only going to be ever one you.
Yeah.
In your family context, in your geographical context, in your work context, like in all the other contexts. But if you deny the opportunity to participate in God in your context, everyone's missing out.
Yeah.
It's not just you. Actually, everyone around you, all of creation in your context is missing out for you engaging in God in your context.
And you know what's so funny? I was thinking about this the other day. You know, in the book of Esther, in the Old Testament, like if you haven't heard the story, go and read it. Like it's like 10 chapters. It's wild. But she has a conversation when she's in the palace with her uncle, Mordecai's her uncle. And he's like, you need to speak to the king and you need to tell the king, look, I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
My people are in danger and you're the only person that can help us. And I know I'm not really supposed to be speaking. I know like, you know, I shouldn't really go and approach you without you approaching me. I know that's all taboo, but like I have to step up. He basically told her, bro, you need to speak. Yeah. Otherwise your whole nation's at risk. And he says to her, like paraphrasing, but he says to her, if you don't want to speak up, cool, God will get somebody else to do it. But the only person that's going to miss out is you.
Yeah.
And I think about that in like us, I guess, existing, whether you're in school, university, or even in your family, like being your authentic self and showing up and being who God has created you to be. If you don't do that, yeah, God could get somebody else to do it, but it won't feel the same.
Mm.
It won't be the same expression.
Mm.
And actually, like, God, no two moments are the same. Like, God can do so many different things. You know, the Bible always, like, talks about in, like, Isaiah 40, it's like, or 43, he's doing a new thing. Like, do you not perceive it? Like, yes, God can move in similar ways, but he often does new things.
Mm.
And me showing up and being my authentic self is a new expression. That's the new thing.
Yeah.
And that's unique to me. I really like how you were saying that. But I also think like for you to get to that mentality, it takes a journey.
Oh, 100%. And I feel
like even with you talking about like the music industry and stuff and like what you experienced in your 20s, maybe you weren't thinking that then, like no. Whilst you were like deep. So like my question is where was that switch up? Like when was the switch between, oh, I'm in this crowd and like, I want to be successful. I want to go after the thing to then being like, you know what? I just want to love God and I just want to be my authentic me.
Yeah. When your life falls apart, it's a really great opportunity to like, just jump in the lifeboat with God and be like, what's happening?
Mate, when all else fails. When, get in that boat.
Listen, when your plans boat. Fail,
hey,
then you realize there's a greater plan.
Oh,
yeah, I think I tried everything. You know, I played at like Glastonbury. I'd had songs on the radio. I got signed to a major. And that's not to demonize those things. Mm. I think I was actually, I had a really great time. But at some point, my childlike faith was not able to cope with adult questions. You mean like I had this immature faith that was like, everything is good and everything is awesome. And yeah, woo, Jesus. At some point, you actually hit reality.
Yeah.
Like if you get sick or someone passes away or your dreams don't come true, all of those things, eventually the rubber hits the road and you have to ask yourself, like, what's going on? Like, what do I really want to do? Who am I really created to be? So it hit a point when I was like 27, where I was like in my garden at 3 a.m. being like, what? Why am I here? Mm. You mean like, what am I doing here? And at that point, I had an invitation to simplify my life to a point where it's like, the only thing that really matters now is to understand the mystery of God. And that sounds really like holy, but I was like, nothing else really matters. Yeah. Everything is a fruit from that.
Yeah.
Because I've tried to do this music thing. I've tried to do relationships. I've tried to do this and I've tried to do this. And I was like, nothing's working in terms of working, in terms of connecting me to the deepest reality.
Yeah.
None of those things are connecting me to the deepest reality, to what I would call Christ. Nothing is connecting me to the truth that underpins all reality, that love that connects every molecule in the world. Nothing's doing that.
Yeah.
Some things hint to that, you know. You go to a gig and there's something, you know, you experience this like deep connection. You write a song, you meet someone that you kind of like. All of those things, I think, are hinting to a deeper truth and a deeper love that I believe we can only experience when engaging with Christ. Mm. So it got to when I was 27, I was like, bro, my plans aren't working. So let me hand over the steering wheel. I'll stop driving now.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I was like, I'm going to stop driving. I'm going to go study theology. I'm going to kind of work in a backpack shop, and simplified my life.
Wow.
I worked 3 days in a backpack shop. I went and studied theology. And then I started going to church in the evenings. And that was my life. I was like, I'm going to do these three things. And ironically, I simplified my life and surrendered it all. And then the fruit was all the things that I was chasing came back to me. But I think, yeah, it's, and that's not to say do this and then you're going to get lots of stuff. Because I don't believe that true. It's like, that's not everybody's reality.
And there's no formula to this.
Nah, yeah, you know, like there's never been a me. So it's not like do this and this and this and this is going to happen.
I'm yeah.
Like, oh. So I think that was a big thing for me to like, I think we can bring meaning to chaos in our life. I think sometimes we don't honor moments, so then we end up being on a loop. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes something really disrupting or chaotic or heartbreaking or amazing can happen in our lives. And in that moment, we have the opportunity to see God and allow that to bring us closer to him. But a lot of the time we choose not to.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Something bad happens and we're like, ah, where is God? And, da, da, da. And I think lament is important, but sometimes we just completely like it derails us. Whereas I think those moments are an invitation to see God in a new way. And I think when I was 27, I had that kind of life car crash that in that moment I opted to pursue the mystery. And every day since then, I've been rewarded with more intimacy and more authenticity, and therefore me operating more peace. Peace is attractive. You know, me operating in more peace means that people want to hang out with someone that's peaceful and loads of doors have opened.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think culture sometimes says like chaos is great. And I'm like, nah, man, peace is
way better.
Listen,
way better.
I've asked a couple of people this past week, how do you define success? Like, how do you define success? And multiple times people have told me waking up and going to sleep content with everything I have is success. Mm. I'm like, that's great. That's how I define success now. It's not the accumulation of more stuff that, you know, we know loads of people that have lots of stuff that aren't at peace.
Yeah.
I think peace is you can't put a value on peace. Waking up and going to sleep content with whatever you have in the present moment that for me is a piece that transcends all understanding. Because people look at your life, you're like, you should be chaotic. You should be spiraling.
And you're like, no, I'm good.
Irrespective of what happens to me yesterday, today, or tomorrow, I can trust that God is faithful.
Mm.
Like that, I protect that at all costs because that's the most valuable thing in the world to me. You know what I mean?
And it's interesting what you were saying about I tried to chase all the stuff. It left me being like, what is the point of all this? I decided to, you know, go deeper with God, lean into God in those moments. And then all the stuff was just brought to me anyway.
It's almost like seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added is real.
Sounds a little bit like Matthew 6:33 to me.
Sounds like scripture.
Oh, sounds a bit like truth. But it's so true. I think the world that we live in, especially when you're a young person, it's so goal-oriented and thing-oriented.
Yeah.
So like, what career are you going to do? All right, find it, chase it, and keep it for 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to just keep going make sure that you don't fall off and maybe get a couple promotions along the way. Find it, latch onto it. Who are you going to marry? Find the person, hold on to them. Don't let it go. Like, how much money are you going to make? Make the money, hold on to it. Don't let it. It's very like step to get the next thing oriented and you have to hold on to it and find consistency in it. And I think it's very easy to get stuff, but it's very hard to hold on to it.
Mm.
It's very hard to be consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with like just life changes. Like you go through things, you meet people and like it's really hard and it's a lot of pressure. I feel like when I was growing up and even in my teen years, trying to figure out, okay, what was I going to study at uni? What career do I want to have? It was very pressurizing because it made me feel like if I don't have this on lock, if I don't get the stuff, if I don't get the grades, if I don't hold on to my future and find a way to carve it out and make it for myself, then I'm finished. Like,
you're not
I'm
supposed to know finished. Everything at 16.
This is what I'm saying. Like
16, I had no idea. I was just vibing, man. I was just writing songs about girls that didn't like me. That was all I was
doing. That's very real.
Like,
that's
really and truly, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
16, 17, 18. I'm 33. I have no idea what's going on. The only thing I know is God is faithful.
And that's all you need.
Yeah.
That is
point,
literally
you put
all you need.
So much pressure on ourselves to be like, okay, well, I'm 17. I need to know what I'm going to do for the next 50 years of my life. I need to figure out who I'm going to marry. All of these markers that become idols in of themselves. And that's not to say they're bad, but they can be an obstacle to actually pursuing intimacy with God. If I could transport myself back to a 17-year-old Rocky, I'd just be like, bro, relax.
Yeah.
It is well. And if I could give you any advice, just keep seeking who God has created you to be. And everything will take care of itself. Work really hard. Like sometimes you're like, I'll seek God and just like pray for 20 hours every day. You have to work really hard.
You have a phone bill, please.
You have to work really, really hard.
You got to just sort yourself out.
Yes.
And the Bible even talks about that, you know.
6-in-1 flow. You know, when it talks about in, you know, the 10 sayings, 10 commandments, work really hard for 6 days. Then one day take Sabbath, but earn your Sabbath. Work really hard for 6 days. So I think working hard and I think work is holy. I think work is holy. Working really hard and giving yourself to the present moment of what you've been put in your hand is holy. But just focus on what's in your hand. If you constantly focus on what's in your hand, more will be given to you. And you don't have to worry about the other stuff that's outside of your hands. All you can control is the things within your hands. And if you look at your hands, they're pretty small.
Yeah.
It's like the whole world is not in your hands. It's in God's hands. Mm. I only have a very small amount of hand coverage. I just focus on what can fit in Rocky's hand.
That's great.
What's been put in my hand, I'll focus on that. And naturally, as life goes on, things shift in and things shift out. So I also need to be very comfortable with things leaving my hands. I also have to be very comfortable with things being put in. And sometimes you go, wow, that's weighty. That responsibility is weighty. Oh, that like university, GCSEs, I have to trust that what's been given to me, I can handle.
Mm.
And also, I like you talk about let go. I also have to be comfortable with, that relationship is gone. That's okay. Oh, that season has changed. That's okay. Oh, this, my dream has left. Do you mean, if you can hold the tension of, let me just be present what's here. Let me not worry about what's coming next. And let me not worry about what has gone. The only thing that exists is now. If I can be present to the now and honor this, whether it's like your GCSEs or your SATs, if they still do SATs, or if it's uni, or if it's college, or if it's your, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like when I worked in a stock room and woke up at 5 a.m. to work in a stock room, I just tried to do everything I could to work in that space like I was working for God. That's not glamorous. Nobody wants to work in, no offense, but yeah. That wasn't my dream. But because I was present with that, it allowed me to do, lots of things.
Mm.
And in hindsight, I learned loads of lessons there that I'm implementing and people are paying me for now, because I don't think anything is wasted.
Yep.
Nothing is wasted with God.
Yep.
The most mediocre, average thing that you're doing now that you think, why am I doing this? Like, I'm better than this. Nothing is wasted. If you truly honor every moment in your life, you will see retrospectively how it's led you closer to God. 100%.
Romans 8:28, all things work together for those who
come
love
on,
God
Zen,
and
you tell
to
them.
Their purpose. Man, that is so good. I think, you said something that made me start going, but I don't remember where I was going. It was the stock room. It was the doing the small things. And then before that, you spoke about, oh my God.
I forget 90% of what I say.
Not me getting lost in the sauce. And then
my retention is awful.
The sauce was just too much. Just going down the side of the plate. The sauce was, the sauce was saucing. Do you know what? I think what you're saying is so, it can just unlock so much freedom for people.
Mm.
And it's the thing of like, you don't have to try so hard. Like genuinely, this is what I was going to say. Yeah, it's the ability to hold what's in your hands and hold it well. You can only do that if your hands are open.
Yeah,
and it's like what you were saying about the surrender thing.
Yeah.
I love the phrase of like living a loose script life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to do. Mm-hmm. And essentially that just means living a life of surrender.
Yeah.
And then essentially what that means
is
being like, okay, cool, whatever's in front of me now, it's been given to me by God, but it's not really mine.
No.
Like I'm not the author of this.
No, God is. Yeah.
I'm not the final owner of this. Mm-hmm. God is, which means the same way that it was passed to me, it will also leave me.
Mm.
And that's okay. And I think the process of letting go can almost kind of feel like grief-like. I remember when I was at university and I really was on like being a lawyer. I was like, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a barrister. I'm going to make my money. Mm. It's going to be great. And God told me, actually, no, we're not doing that. That's not going to give you fulfillment.
Mm.
Following me will give you fulfillment. And like the process of letting go of that dream, that took like 6 months for me to really put that to bed and be okay with the fact that this is no longer going to be my future.
Mm.
But the process of giving that over to God and having that loose grip was very painful.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's real. Like we're not here sitting here saying, oh yeah, just, you know, let things come and go from your life and it's going to be great. There's going to be moments of real pain.
Yeah.
Even Jesus knew that. Like, you know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was going to go to the cross, and he has this moment with God and he's like really wrestling. Like my guy was sweating blood.
He was
struggling.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, God, if this is possible, take this away from me. Like if there's any way that I don't have to go through this, I would love to not go through this.
Mm.
But then in the same breath, he says, yeah, nor my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
And I think that's the tension that we hold as young people or just as people as general. It's like, we're going to go through seasons that will be hard, and we're going to go through things in life that are difficult and you can't really escape it. And even the process of giving the thing back to God, that can feel like your own Garden of Gethsemane moment of like, God, if there's any other way, I'd love to keep this thing.
Yeah.
If there's any other way, I'd love to have what I have.
Yeah.
But like, then not my will, your will. Like if I keep my thing, then that's just going to keep me away from you.
Yeah. Like at some point, I think all of these biblical stories are helpful indicators of what could occur in your own life.
Mm.
At some point, you might have to sacrifice your son.
Will. Tell that to Abraham.
One day, you might have to do that.
Mm.
One day, Jesus says you will have to carry your cross every day.
Yep.
Some days you will behold the ascension of Christ going into heaven. You mean like it's not just like doom and gloom, but I think when I read the scriptures, I see divine patterns that I can give me a blueprint of what could what can I expect from life. Like when I look at the scriptures, I see these are thousands of men and women that have tried to wrestle with God.
Yeah.
Israel, the ones who wrestle with God.
Yeah.
So I just see divine patterns of this could happen to you, and this is a faithful way to respond. This could happen to you, and this is a faithful way to respond. This is a happen to you, and this is a way to remain righteous with right standing with God. So at some point, yeah, you might have to, you talked about Esther, you might have to go to the king and tell him about himself. That could lead to your death. You might have to exist in a prison setting, even though you were promised that you would be king one day. How are you going to respond? I think so much about our walk is not necessarily avoiding trouble or pain or suffering. I think that is an inevitable reality. I'm sorry if you didn't think it was, but it
Newsflash.
Is. Newsflash, life's hard.
Yep.
And it's also incredibly beautiful. And it's both and. It's not necessarily that we're going to avoid beauty or hardship. It's about how do we respond to those moments in our lives? Because every single one of us are going to have these micro decisions every day to choose love or to operate out of fear. And like you said, it's like, it's not easy to follow in the footsteps of Christ.
Absolutely not.
But for me, I don't see any other way because that way connects me to God. So like any other route is kind of futile.
It's not making sense.
Doesn't make sense. It's not math. The math is not mathing.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't say that. Yeah. I don't say that lightly because that comes at a cost, but also comes at a great reward, I think. Of all, you know, so yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm not a kind of new year, new me kind of person. That's not really my vibe. I'm just like, it is what it is. Every day is every day. You know what I mean? Like when people are like, yeah, this January I'm going to do, I'm like, we're in the middle of winter and it's in the UK. It's cold. So we're like, revival. I'm like, it's cold and February is even colder. So you can find me in May. Find me in May. I think, but this year I felt a little bit of like a paradigm shift. And there were three things. It's like, everything I have is a gift. Everything I do is a seed. And everyone I meet carries the divine image. Everything I have is a gift. Nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. Everything is a gift for this present moment.
Yeah.
And if I treat it like that, I will treat it with respect and also not try to hold on to things and also let go of things. Everything I do is a seed, which means that am I prepared to do things, sow seeds that I not might not bear the fruit of? Everyone's like, I'm going to do this thing and in my lifespan, X, Y, Z. It's like, maybe not. Maybe I'm planting the seeds for future inties. You know, my grandmother was praying at my dad's bedside for me.
Wow.
Am I prepared to pray and to, am I prepared to contribute to creation in a way that I might not see the benefit from? And the third thing is every single person that you will meet carries the divine image. What would it look like for your interactions if that was your starting point?
Yeah.
This person that I've met, oh, they're this, they're this, they're this, they're blah, 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 they believe this. I feel like we're so divisive. We judge the people like 17 times before we've even heard them speak.
Wow.
Like, what would it look like for you to think that like your teacher that you have beef with carries a divine image? What would it look like if that the person that believes that political stance or has that other faith or you believed they were created in the image of God?
Listen, when your mom's getting on your case, in that moment, she carries the image of God.
Your mum is a child of God.
Yep.
Every adult you ever meet is just a child trying to understand that they're deep connected to God. So like your mum, your dad, your sister, your brother, the bully.
Yes.
Those that oppose you, the random person that works in the Tesco's, everybody carries the divine image. So what would it look like for you to engage with them in that way? That doesn't mean not creating healthy boundaries. Boundaries are important.
Yep.
But if we had the starting point that I am deeply connected to all things and every single person, I think that would those are the three things that I'm trying to embody so that I don't get gassed on myself. Or I don't think that what I'm doing is like mad important. I'm just a gardener. You know, in Genesis, it's like, go and take dominion. We think like that means to dominate. That means we're gardeners. All of us are just gardeners. Just plant seeds and then hang out. Because you know what's really cool with the Christian tradition? For thousands of years, other people have been planting seeds for us.
Mm.
And we're actually walking in a garden with fruit, not realizing that that's the labor of someone else is planting the seeds. So whilst we're here, whilst I'm alive this next, you know, God willing, like 100 years, can't live forever. I'm just plant seeds.
Yeah.
I thank the people that have gone before me that have planted seeds so I can eat the fruit. And I just plant seeds for 1,000 years time. And knowing that at the end of my life, I'll be reunited with the divine, whatever that means for me. Or like, you mean like, I don't even understand. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to unpack that.
Facts.
But whilst I'm here, you know, how can I just participate in God and with God? Which is a crazy invitation. I think that's mad.
Yeah.
That the person, you know, the persona and the divine God that created pineapples wants to like...
to chill with us.
Wants to chill.
Yeah.
Like wants to chill and like...
And no strings attached. He just wants you. Nothing else.
No strings. Some people like... I think we're still on like a work situationship. Like, you know, we broke up with... We're like, oh, there's lots of works. And like the church split in 1,000 ways. But we've kind of returned back to that. If I do this stuff, God will love... Nothing that I do will make God love me more.
Mm.
That's not how it works. Things that I do and the practices I keep and the way in which I behave every day will help me realize God's love more. But nothing I do, God doesn't love me less after I have sinned.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. You know what I mean? God's like, Zenya did something wrong. I'm not going to pick up her text. My friend Sam Lopez preached something on Sunday. He was like, God is not like us. And what we keep doing is treating God like he's a human. Like, and even the most loving human being we know would deny intimacy if we wrong them.
Yeah.
God's not like that. That's not how God operates. God cannot deny himself. You mean God can't step away and be like, oh, well, you know, then you're by yourself. He's divine love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God.
And I feel like sometimes we forget that Jesus, yes, is fully human, but fully God. Like
fully
we forget ends. That. Yeah. I feel like we look at him and we see a man, but he's God with skin on. Like he's the visible image of the invisible God. Like he is God incarnate, God in flesh.
Jesus isn't not going to pick up your call. Jesus isn't going to ignore your WhatsApp message.
Mm.
Jesus isn't going to be like, oh, you did this thing, so like I'm out. Jesus isn't going to be like, oh, I told a lie, so you cancelled. Jesus will never cancel you.
Yeah.
Jesus will never deny you. Sometimes we humanize Christ so much that Christ must be like me on a good day.
Wow.
That's not, no. Love holds, Christ is in all things. Love holds the universe together. Everything in creation is held together by the divine love of God.
Yeah.
Nothing can separate that. So, and I think that's a big thing for like, not just young people, but all people. I think sometimes I hold myself accountable to how much I love. And that's not how we can define love. Love is this mystery that irrespective of what I do, the door is always open to relationship with God. That's really cool, man. I don't think there's many other things like that in all the universe. That's why I'm like, Jesus is cool. That's a vibe.
Mate, I can get down with that.
Listen, more of that.
Come on.
More of that for me.
Mate, I want some more of that Jesus love. I feel like we all want some more of that Jesus love. Yeah. And we also have the invitation to experience it.
Mm.
And maybe you listening to this episode experienced it. Maybe you had something.
Mm.
Maybe Rocky dropped some gems and you were like, there's something in that. We'd love to know. We'd love for you to leave a comment. You see, I'm Segway.
See, I see what you're doing there.
You know what? They call me the Segway girl. Wow. Like, they call me the...
Nickname.
Yeah. I was trying to think of like a double S, like Segway something, but I just couldn't think of...
I can't do it.
What it is... The Segway... Maybe so, leave a comment.
Leave a comment.
Yeah, give us
if
a try.
If you leave a comment, you'll win a prize.
And the prize is, I'll just start saying whatever the comment is, like, I'm the Segway something.
It'll be on like the lower third every episode.
Yeah, that's it. They'll put it in bold text above my face every time I appear on this pod. It's awesome. But Rocky, thank you so much for just, I guess, kind of just unpacking. You know, sometimes it's hard to, when we think about God, sometimes we can be like, oh, but what does that mean for how I live? What does that mean for like how I love people? What does that mean for? But I think sometimes it's good to just hear somebody else going through it and somebody like experiencing it. And like, we will keep experiencing it and we will keep unpacking it for the rest of our lives. But like, what, like for this point in our journeys, like if we could just share a couple things, you know? And I feel like you just did that so well. So thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having me. It's been an honor and a privilege.
Thanks for hanging.
Come on now.
Thanks for hanging out. And thank you guys for hanging out with us as well. I always get confused which one to look at. So let's just look at this one over there. But yeah, thank you guys for hanging out with us. And if you're listening by YouTube, Spotify, however you listen to your podcast these days, give us a comment. Let us know what you thought about what was said on the pod. Maybe there's one thing that stood out to you we would love to hear. But guys, we will be back with another episode of The Way Pod. So hold tight, watch this space. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.